One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I believe it's time to begin the message, so you have your Bible. And you'll turn to the last book, please. The last book. It's a misnomer, or a misname, or a misunderstanding to say the revelation of Saint John. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ to Brother John. When I went through school, Baylor University, and Southwestern Seminary, and a bunch of it went through me, and some of it was good, some of it wasn't. I'm grateful for everything that I learned. As you've heard me say, I gained some convictions for a lifelong life in the ministry. I learned not from opinions of professors, but from convictions from God's men. Dr. B.O. Herring, I suppose, would be the outstanding preacher in my training days that had convictions concerning the application of the Christian life. And my advantage was great because I had no preconceived notions, because I had very few notions when I got to school. What I knew was about the farm and about milking and about hoeing and about obeying my daddy. Now, those were some basic fundamental, I think, life-giving lessons that I learned. Honesty, hard work, and respecting my elders, my mother and dad, and preachers that visited our home often. But there's one thing they didn't tell me when I went to school. Nobody ever talked to me about the book of Revelation, Daniel or Ezekiel, about to me. They looked on the book of Revelation largely as a mystical book, and one that would confuse you, and one that we need not be bothered with. Now, one reason the book of Revelation doesn't fit in to the doctrine of post-millennialism. And so I didn't know what it meant really, except they just told me, and I went and told everybody else that everything's going to get better and better. Now, that's post-millennialism. I mean, we're going to usher in the golden age, and then we'll flip a telegram to Jesus and say, now you can come see what we've done. But the longer I preached that, the worse it got. I thought we'd shake the generation of the world in one generation if we'd all get at it. We had enough preachers, and that's what they told me. But I found out that it wasn't getting better, and that God didn't send me to save the world or to change society except as I change men. Communism, with its demands, has taken over around the world. Totalitarianism, humanism has come. And the world is saying that there's no need to believe in the supernatural. I don't know of anybody else I can believe in, really. I preached last night on have no confidence in the flesh. Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh that dwells no good thing, for the will is present with me, how to perform that which is good I find not. And so he said, when I get ready to do good, there stands the devil right there. And the good that I would, I just don't do. And the evil that I would not, the devil part of it, I'm not going to do it, but I do it anyhow. So long, it's no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. And finally he came to a conclusion and said, I thank God through Jesus Christ I got the victory. And then he comes into that great masterpiece, our Emancipation Proclamation, Romans chapter 8, and said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his only Son. Brother, there comes my remedy right there. In the likeness of sin and for sin, or in the likeness of the flesh and for sin, condemn sin. And then he set me free. I said something you need to keep in your mind. You don't cure the flesh, you kill it. There's no cure for the flesh. There's never been any flesh cured. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The psychiatrists are going to psychiatrists today because they don't understand the depravity of the first birth. They don't understand that everybody is born bad and will get worse until they meet Jesus. There's only one power that can conquer my flesh, and that's the power of Jesus. That's your only hope. This has been the generation of deterioration. This has been the deterioration generation. This has been the generation when everything that man put his hand to has failed. We thought education would be our Messiah. It's turned out to be the Antichrist. Brutal! And we thought modern inventions, space, would take the place of grace, but it won't. Our inventions have just brought us to the end of ourselves. When those men revealed the secret of the atomic bomb, they said, we'll only tell you what it is with one understanding. You'll have to have a solemn agreement. You'll have to agree that it'll never be used in war or to kill anybody. Who broke that promise? Those men said, we wish 1,000 times we'd never invented the atomic bomb. When the ground of Iwo Jima, Nagasaki, had burned like tissue paper, and people's bodies are still marred and scarred, and cities are still trying to come out of it. Folks, education without regeneration is that horrible abomination, and that's where we are today. Our schools of higher learning have turned out people of lower living, and that's where we are today. You ready for the message? Revelation? I have some five things I want to say to you. Number one, chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. And remember this, all true revelations are given of the Lord. You can get all the degrees, you can get every diploma, you can cover the wall of your office or home with degrees of every kind, but you'll never have a revelation till God gives it to you. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. Now let me give you the picture. We're standing at the end of the trail. This book tells me how everything's coming out. I mean, this is the end time book, and we'll get to the final chapter and the final word in a moment. But we are now standing 1,600 miles. It took 1,600 years to write the Bible. In other words, when Moses stood on the mount and John stood on the island, they were 1,600 miles apart. They were 1,600 years apart. Now, all in between, Moses came out with the basic fundamental law book, including the Genesis plan of redemption, Leviticus, the offering, and the blood book of telling and pointing to Jesus Christ, and Exodus, and how he got him out of Egypt, and Deuteronomy warned the people, don't you forget, don't you forget, don't you forget. And of course, man's got a better forgetter than he has a rememberer. Man can forget so much, and I'll admit, there's some that you need to forget, and there's some that'd be well if we did forget permanently. God's got a forgetter, and he will not hold our sins against us forever when we put our trust in Jesus. But get the picture. Moses standing on a mount, thunder, lightning, getting the first five books. John exiled because he believed the book. He really did. And the devil said, we better get him out of the way. He's a troublemaker. So he wound up out on the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible said he was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. And God gave him this revelation. Now I'm going to give you some five things that I've seen this week. This past Friday, I read through this entire book and got a glimpse, I think, of some of its meanings. Number one, the grand subject. What's the final revelation about in him? What's he going to put 22 chapters down and say, amen, that's all of it. Now, if anybody adds to, you're in trouble. Anybody takes from, you're in trouble. Now, what's he going to say? It's all about Jesus. It's just about Jesus. He's the grand subject. I mean, the grand finale. The ultimatum is Jesus, just Jesus. And so it said the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he talks about John, bear the record of the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all things that he saw. The book of Revelation is Jesus giving his testimony and telling us and giving us a written guarantee on how this whole thing is coming out. Now, number two, he said, I've got a blessing for anybody that'll read this book. You know, I'll have to admit that I was scared completely away from the book of Revelation going through school. The old saints of God used to come, I can remember, as if it were yesterday, and they'd say, Brother Olaf, when are you going to preach on the book of Revelation? Well, I said, that confuses people. I better stay away from that. I don't understand. Well, I didn't get it when I went through school. Bear the record of the word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ, of all things that he saw. Blessed is the man that readeth. Number two, blessed the people that hear the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those that keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now then, he addresses himself to seven churches. And we come to the second thought that I want to give you. First of all, Jesus is the grand subject, talks mostly about Jesus. And the judgment that the world is going to have will come from Jesus. The defeat of the devil will not come from Brother Olaf. It'll come from the lips of the Lord Jesus. His word that you and I need to obey will be the cause of complete defeat for the devil. The grand subject is the Lord Jesus. Second, the authority of Jesus is laid out in the book of Revelation. He said this concerns the one that was and is and shall be. That's three different ages and stages, and yet God has no age except everlasting to everlasting. And so the authority is plain. Jesus said, I'm Alpha. That's A, isn't it? That's the beginning. You couldn't have a complete alphabet without A. You couldn't have a complete Savior without the Alpha. He is the Alpha. I am the Alpha. How many Alphas are there? He said, I'm the Alpha. There's only one. I'm the Omega. That's your last letter. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning. How many beginnings can you have one? I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm the first. I'm the last. Brother, the book of Revelation announces the final, complete authority of the Lord Jesus. Every knee will bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And so the complete authority, he said, I am he that liveth, but was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. You know that is? I am. He's the one that's alive forevermore. And because he lives, I will live also. The authority of the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you something else he said. He said to the churches, now remember there's 7 churches in Asia Minor. One of the things he told them, he told each one of them what happened to them. The Laodicean church, neither hot nor cold and so forth. And he said, except, you've left your first love now, except you repent, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to remove the candlestick. You know what the candlestick is? That's the church. That's where you put the light in it. Now, I know I'm talking to a lot of people out in radio land said, well, I don't believe in the church. I don't believe in the church for my salvation, but I believe in the church for my fellowship. It's the best place I've ever been. I guess I do. Brother, I got saved going to church. I got called to preach that little one-room church. Everybody that I've ever helped, nearly, I've helped through the church. I love the church. I'm glad we've got a church in Corpus Christi. You know, people get the idea, Brother Wolf, is that a private building, church y'all got out there? Can just anybody come to it? I said, they sure can, because a lot of people don't want to. But it'd be a fine thing if everybody in this city were to come at least 2 or 3 times a month out here and just see who's singing and hear the simple gospel messages. And so notice what he's saying. He said, I was alive, I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Brother, that's from here on, you know that. You know, people get the idea, Brother Wolf, is that a private building, church y'all got out there? Can just anybody come to it? I said, they sure can, because a lot of people don't want to. But it'd be a fine thing if everybody in this city were to come at least 2 or 3 times a month out here and just see who's singing and hear the simple gospel messages. And so notice what he's saying. He said, I was alive, I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Brother, that's from here on, you know that. And just as sure as he lives, I'm going to live. And because I live, ye shall live also. I'll tell you something else he said. He said, I have the keys to 2 places, and that's hell and death. Now, that's the 2 things that scares most people, isn't it right? I don't want to go to hell. Fact is, I don't even want to die. Nobody ever practices dying. Brother, you just die one time and it's all over. Give it unto man once to die, and after that cometh the judgment. That's the next stop. Not incarnation. Or reincarnation, brother. It's just over with. And when you finally breathe your last breath on this side of Jordan, you've had your last opportunity to get saved. Today's the day of salvation. And now is the time. So there's the authority. You know what he said? He said, if you do not repent, I'm going to blot your name. Now, there's a lot of people that don't understand salvation by grace that thinks he's talking about the person that's been saved. He's talking to the churches. He kept his promise. You say, how many names did he blot out? 7. You say, how do you know? I tell you what you do. Go over there and see if you can find them today. Now, Jesus is simply saying to us, I have all authority. I've got the keys of death. I've got the keys of hell. Now then, doesn't that take the fear out of your believing and being afraid of hell? Little girls and boys and men and women, why would you worry about going to hell when you're saved? No Christian will ever go to hell. You know, he said, I'm going to take away the candlestick. That means your light will have no place to go. Now then, I was invited to leave in the morning to go to the Holy Land. This past week, I ran into a preacher, and he said a bunch of us are going, and we want you to go with us. All expenses are paid. Won't cost you a penny. No, sir. My answer was, I'm going to wait until Jesus gets back. The heathens operate it now, but Jesus will soon have it. And then when he comes, I have no desire to go to the Holy Land. I mean, think of paying the fare, wasting my time, walking among heathens and where he used to be. I'd rather be here where he is. I believe that'll be the attitude of a Christian. The authority. All right, I've given you two things. Let me give you the third one now. His name is the supreme name of the universe. There's never been another name. More songs written about him, his name. More people love his name. More people call his name. Even the devil's crowd. In blasphemy and profanity, they call. You hear people, and I certainly don't mean to be irreverent, but I'll guard you. I warn you. People say, well, Jesus Christ, look out there. You've misused the sweetest name on the face of this earth. People say, well, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. That's profanity right now. And you're a vile curser. You know, I like the book of Revelation because it said he's going to take away the curse. He'll stop all profanity. Won't be nobody cursing in heaven. There won't be anybody that'll blaspheme that wonderful name in the glory of heaven. No, sir. That name. Would you turn with me to chapter 3, please? Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Did you get it? Number one, the gold tried in the fire is the word of God. The white raiment is our holiness and sanctification that comes through Christ. The eye salve is the vision of the mission field. Oh, hear me. Brother, those three things we need today. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now then, who's he talking to? Verse 20, behold, give me attention, he said, I stand at the door. Now, most people think that means he's knocking on the sinner's door, and he does. But he's knocking on the church door. He's trying to get back in seven churches. He's warning his churches. He said, I'm telling you now, you've crowded me out. You've put me out. I'm knocking on your door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or any church will hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Folks, can we afford to miss that kind of fellowship? Listen, Jesus said, if any man will hear my voice, that's the word, and will open the door, that's faith. And I like that verse. I read it again two or three times this week. He said, behold, there's an open door, and no man can close it. When I open it, man can't close it. When I shut it, man can't open it. One day God, in his majestic, wonderful, loving being, walked up to the ark door with eight people, that's all. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, four men and four ladies. And he said, now y'all come and get in. Now he said, come thou, Noah, into the ark. The Lord had an evangelistic crusade, and he gave the invitation, and Noah said, I'm a-coming. And the boy said, well, Daddy, I'm a-coming too. And the three wives followed, I think, Noah's wife went in. Now then, what happened then? The Bible said, and the Lord shut the door. Brother, once you get in, the door is closed. I wish people could believe that and understand that. That's what the Bible teaches about grace. There's no way to fall out of the ark. You think Noah and Miss Noah woke up one morning and said, Shem's gone. He fell out during the night. One of the boys came and said, Dad, my wife climbed out, broke out last night. She's gone. Oh, no. That sounds silly, doesn't it? And yet that's exactly what most preachers are preaching today. I'd say 9 out of 10 of them preach exactly. Practically every denomination is built on a false gospel. Not good news, it's bad news. Because they do not believe that Jesus saves and then he keeps them saved. The whole question is this, how big is your God? His name. All right, turn to the 4th chapter, if you will. Verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Verse 5, One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David hath prevailed. Open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Now hear me carefully. There's coming a time when the Lamb will turn into the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, I know you think he's a little meek sort of a fellow that's scared of his shadow and all that. But there'll come a day when the Lamb shall become the Lion and judge this world in righteousness. Then verse 9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 12, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The last thing I want to say is that in chapter 19, we're going to begin to enter the heavenly chorus. This is the hallelujah chorus of the Bible. Chapter 19, after these things, amen. Brother, these things, this has been the generation of things, hasn't it? Hadn't this been the one they introduced? Well, do your thing. I'm just doing my thing, you know. Preachers get up and say, well, I'm just doing my thing. To me, that's cheap. That's not even cultured. There's nothing refined about it, saying, doing your thing. Brother, hear me, after these things. I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! There you are. I'll be in that hallelujah chord. You know, one of the great experiences of my life, and I've never had any claim to musical ability of any kind. I mean, never. But singing has been a part of my life. There's never a day or hardly ever a night that I do not sing sometime during. If the Lord gives songs in the night, and I'm awake in the night, I said, Lord, what's my song for tonight? These last 3 months, I've sung more at night. You know, Ms. Roloff's getting a little hard hearing. I guess all of us do. And I guess that's an advantage because I try not to disturb her with my singing at night. But folks, if you can't sing at night, don't come running around me in the daylight and want to sing. God's people ought to have a song in the darkest of the night. Listen, I tell you one thing it'll do. It'll scare the devil off. If there's just one. Now, if I can get in a good little pity party And if I can feel sorry for me, I said, look to me like the load just too heavy. I don't know why people do. Boy, the devil come back and said, that's right. Amen. Amen. You know, I got in the meeting this week, boys, and I could tell it's going to be one of them rousing good gospel meetings. And there was a daddy sitting right out there, and his little boy sat over here, right close to me. I mean, right over here. And it was interesting. It was interesting. I got started pretty good, and I'd hit a lick. And that little boy would say, amen. And his daddy immediately recognized his voice, and he looked at him. He shook that head, you know, pat down, you two. And I said, I tell you, amen. Finally, the daddy just said, I give up. Let him go. Huh? You know, a little child should lead them. That little boy had the time of his life. He didn't mean to be irreverent. That little fellow just believed what the preacher was preaching. And he come up and talked to me and shook my hand. And he said, I tell you what, you preached a good sermon. And he said, I believe every bit of it. That's right, amen. You'd be better off if you'd believe all of it too. And go out and practice every stitch of it. Well, what did I start to tell you? They're going to have a hallelujah chorus four times. In verse 1, in verse 3, in verse 4, and in that other verse, 6, hallelujah! What are they hallelujahing about? Brother, victory's come. Chapter 19. Notice what he said, verse 11. I saw heaven open, amen, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge. And never forget, the news media walked up to me one day and said, Brother Olaf, I want to know what are your possessions? What do you own? I said, I got a mansion and a white horse. They said, what? I said, I have a mansion and a white horse. I'm a member of the stable club. They said, could you explain? I said, yes, sir. One of these days, Jesus is coming out on a white horse, and I'm coming along right behind him on mine. He said, he's going to build me a mansion. I got a title to my home in the sky. Boy, that went over like a ton of brick with them. I mean, they looked at me and said, yep, no doubt about it, he's crazy. Folks, the world doesn't understand when you're rich in heaven. If you're rich down here, boy, listen, you're the main peacock on the walk. I mean, you're somebody, you're mister, you doctor, everything. Hear me, my friend, what you've got here will vanish pretty soon. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. I must hasten now to close. What's the last word? I said, when he gets ready to close her up. Brother, you talk about a sacred scene. They get together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the church all have a meeting. He said, and the Spirit says, come. And the bride, that's the church, says, come. Let me give another invitation. I'm amazed at these churches that don't know how to give an invitation for people to come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And then whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Folks, he wouldn't close the book. Did you know that's the last thing he said, really, except the benediction and the warning. Don't you add to or take from. The last thing is a universal invitation for people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, don't you go out of here this morning and say, I never was invited to come. We invite you to come. Why, he said, the Spirit says come, the bride says come, he that's athirst come, let him that heareth say come, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then, would you know what he said last of all? I mean, in that last chapter, you know what he said? Four times, three times, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And John believed it and closed it out by saying, even so, come on, Lord Jesus, amen. The last thing in the Bible, the last word that was ever written was the name of Jesus, because he is the amen. And I noticed sweeter and better seemed like as I read through, and I had a good Friday by reading through this book. Jesus got to preaching, and he said, I'm going to come. Amen! He put amen to his own preaching. I like that. The amen said amen. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below. Gather on the blessed hilltops with our hearts all aglow. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, such a wonderful day. Glad day, such a marvelous day. There with all the holy angels and the loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion. When we've been a million years in that wonderful place, basking in the love of Jesus, beholding His face, it will seem but just a moment while praising His grace. That will be a glad reunion day. Sing, glad day, such a wonderful day. Glad day, such a marvelous day. There will all the holy angels and the loved one to stay. That will be a glad reunion. Stand together with every head bowed. Victory is ours, and Jesus will reign. And when the sun slips out of its majestic socket, and when the stars fall through space, and when mountains jump up and down, and earthquakes come, men cry for rocks to fall upon them, Jesus will be Lord. Oh, won't you trust Him today? Visitors, don't go away without the Lord Jesus. Let's sing, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. While every head is bowed, speak to your neighbor. Ask them if they're ready for the rapture. I hear the Savior say, come on, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, find in me thine all. Sing out, Jesus. You're going to pay him back? Come on. Sing that stanza, for nothing good have I, for nothing good, whereby thy grace to claim. What are you going to do? Wash my garments white in the blood, Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, come on. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name for all these who've come today, and grant, Lord, that our visitors may go away just already determined in their soul to be ready for the rapture by putting their trust in Jesus Christ. Father, save us from the ravages of religion. Oh, from the fake and the false and the cuss of our day, and help us to look only to the Lord and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff.